Good morning, everyone. And welcome to any visitors who are with us. And you're all welcome with a cup of tea or coffee at the end of the service in the small hall. Last Sunday, we had a retiral offering for the Fabric Fund, and it raised £98. So thanks to everybody who contributed. I commend to you this week the order of service, all the intimations. I pick out on Wednesday at 10 o'clock, we have the prayer shawl group. They meet once a month. If you like knitting and nattering, that's the place to go, Wednesday at 10. 11 o'clock on Wednesday, the midweek worship. Wednesday at 7:30, the Guild has George McGrattan speaking about Ardrossan Castle. Local interest there. Friday, you're welcome to come to Audrey Scott's for our discussions. And next Sunday, please remember that the act of remembrance is at the War Memorial at 11, and we have a church service of remembrance here at 11:30. It's a tight fit to try and fit in both, but I'm doing my best. So excuse me if I'm a few minutes late, but usually manage to get there within 5 minutes. Just advance notice that the moderator of Ardrossan Presbytery is coming to visit us on Sunday the 24th of November. So today, let us meet to worship God, conscious of our rich heritage of people in the past, conscious of the fact we're surrounded by so many people on this earth and in heaven. And let us all join together to worship God, singing hymn 424. Thy hand, O God, has guided thy flock from age to age. Picture of Oor Willie to show.
No, I haven't.
On the cover.
I'll try and find one.
No, but it's okay.
Just go search.
No, it's okay. Just leave it. It's okay.
Thy right hand to help us.
On this All Saints Sunday, on this All Saints Sunday, we give thanks to God for our rich Christian heritage. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you today for all the Christian men and women, boys and girls down the years, and today who are all over the world, and who today are in heaven. We have a rich heritage. We owe you and them so much. We praise and thank you for creating individuals like Noah and Abraham, or Joseph and Moses, David, Peter, Paul, heroes and martyrs, our own grandparents and parents. We praise and thank you for creating the people of Israel, for rescuing them from slavery, taking them through the wilderness, setting them up in the promised land, bringing them back from exile. We praise and thank you for the 12 disciples, for creating the early church. In particular, we praise and thank you for creating us and inviting us to be your disciples too, for binding us together as your people, letting us be part of your church, for giving us such a great cloud of witnesses and a rich heritage to inspire us. Heavenly Father, we confess that we've not always lived up to the examples of our forefathers in the faith. While they lived and sacrificed and even died for you, we confess that often we've allowed Christian values to be lost. We grow increasingly materialistic and self-seeking. We dishonor the name Christ One, Christian, and we're not always the salt of the earth, more following the crowd. Lord God, forgive us for treating the church as a place of refuge and security instead of using it as a base for mission. Forgive us for sitting on the premises when we should be standing on the promises. Forgive us for wringing our hands instead of rolling up our sleeves. Forgive us for being pillars of the kirk when we should have been propellers of it. Merciful and gracious Father, we thank you for your word of forgiveness. You said to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven. Rise, take up your bed and walk." We thank you for your forgiveness on the cross, and we rejoice in your releasing us from all that paralyzes our active service. So, Lord God, empower and enable each one of us here this morning, and all of us together as a congregation, so that we might all the better live for you and serve our neighbors, and in due course hand on a rich inheritance of faith to our children and succeeding generations. And hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning. So did you notice, can't see Caleb here, did you notice what Sunday this is? What's it called? No, it's next week.
Sunday.
All Saints Sunday, right. Well, let's think a bit about saints. Do you know anything about saints? Do you know any saints? Anybody know any saints?
Francis.
St. Andrew, St. Francis. St. Paul. St. Columba.
Silent ones.
Silent ones. That's a good expression. I did wonder, you see, if you give me famous names, like you have, or whether you might say to me the person sitting next to you. The silent ones. You never thought of St. Ray, did you? Why not? See, in the Bible, it doesn't really talk about Saint so-and-so. It's later on, after the Bible, after Jesus, in church history, some people get called saint. Saint Paul wasn't always a saint. Saint Augustine wasn't always a saint. But anyway, after then, looking back, sometimes people are described as saints. And we think of these super Christians. But when St. Paul wrote his books in the Bible, St. Paul to the Corinthians, he wrote to all, in all these books, he said, to the saints at Corinth. And if you read what he wrote, you'll realize they weren't saints. They were a bunch. Hooligans. They were up to no good. But he was calling them the saints at Corinth. So there's a sense in which you think of saints as super Christians, but there's a sense in which everybody who follows Jesus is a saint. It's another word for a follower of Jesus. And some are better followers than others. So I want you to think today, this is All Saints Sunday. I want you to think about the all in that. We are all saints, better or worse. But we're all called to be sort of examples, inspirations to others. To be the folk that Jesus uses to inspire other people. Now, I've got the perfect story to illustrate that, but I've been hesitating whether I tell you this. For two good reasons. It's about myself. So it might sound like I'm boasting. Please take this not as me boasting, but I'm trying to make the point I'm making. Secondly, it's a secret. It's a secret I've kept for over 50 years. And I haven't told anybody till now. So I'm slightly embarrassed at telling it for that reason. So if you're ready. When I was 7, I became a Christian. When I was 8, I felt that God wanted me to be a minister. I've become a minister. Now, I didn't become a minister when I grew up and left school and then got a job as a minister. I became a minister when I was 8. You can be a minister when you're 8. You don't get the collar and you don't get the graduation at university and the wee certificate. But you can start ministering at any age. When I said all saints, that's what I was trying to mean. Every one of us is a minister. Every one of us is an angel. Every one of us is a saint. So it's in that spirit I'm saying this. When I was just a wee boy then, I got a little inspiration. So on Christmas Eve, I sneaked out of the house. It was dark. Didn't tell my parents or anybody. And I never have. And I went round the doors, not all of the doors, but some doors, because it's a village and I knew who lived where. And I went to the houses of some old folk and poorer old folk. And I put an envelope through the letterbox and ran away. In the envelope, there wasn't a letter or anything. There was just a 10-shilling note. I'll need to explain that. Before you were born, we had different money. We had pounds, shillings, and pence. And long ago, 10 shillings was a note, and it was worth what's now 50 pence. It was half a pound. I didn't get pocket money when I was little, but if my richer uncle came, he would give me half a crown, which was 25 pence. And unlike my sister, I used to put mine in the piggy bank. And I saved up my 25 pences, and I got them into 10 shilling notes. And I put a note in each envelope, and I went sneaking round in the dark, putting the envelope with the note inside, no explanation, so that folk would just open the envelope and get a surprise. Money for nothing, for no reason. Who did that? And they would never know. And then I sneaked back to the house, and I went back to bed, and I was lying in there, a big smile on my face, not so much excited about what I might be getting tomorrow morning on Christmas Day, a big smile on my face because I was satisfied and proud of myself what I'd done on Christmas Eve night. Now, I'm not telling you to sneak out at nights, but I'm wanting you to think about it. God has given each of us brains to think up bright ideas and hearts that love and care to think what we could do, a bright idea to love and care somebody somewhere. So use your brains, exercise your loving hearts, and go out there and be little ministers, little angels, little saints, all day, every day. I've got another project this week coming. What do you think I should do? I was in a house that just not far from here, someone that was homeless, and they've got a house, but they haven't much in their house. And the first thing I noticed was they haven't got doors. We take doors for granted. And in the winter, when it's cold, if you shut the door, it keeps the heat in. Remember that when you leave it open. Nag, nag. But you shut the door and it keeps the heat in. But if you haven't got a door, you can heat it and it'll still be cold. But earlier this week, I was up at the Focus Centre. That's the old Mayfield School. And the men's shed is there. Some men like to potter about in their garden sheds. So there's about 70 men up the road here that potter together in the Focus Centre. And it's one big men's shed. And they do all kinds of things. And amongst other things, they work with wood. So they pick up any old wood from anywhere. If folk have got old doors, they can chuck them up there. And then they fix them up, put on new handles, polish them, varnish them, and they do all kinds of things. So earlier in the week, I was up at the men's shed, and I saw all these doors in the corridor, looking for homes. At the end of the week, I see a man who's got a house without any doors. You can see where my brain's going. I'm going to get the man to go up the men's shed and get a door or two. If you just keep your eyes open and look around all the time, you'll see problems and you'll see solutions and you'll see where you can get the problem solved. And it's actually a fun game. It's what makes the world go round. It's an enjoyable life when you do it. It's got its own reward. So that's All Saints Sunday. So let's sing together hymn 488, Jesus Bids Us Shine.
Thank you.
Now let's turn to the Word of God, reading first from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, at verse 32. It's a whole chapter about people of faith. There isn't enough time for me to speak of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Through faith, they fought whole countries and won. They did what was right and received what God had promised. They shut the mouths of lions, put out fierce fires, escaped being killed by the sword. They were weak but became strong. They were mighty in battle and defeated the armies of foreigners. Through faith, women received their dead relatives raised back to life. Others, refusing to accept freedom, died under torture in order to be raised to a better life. Some were mocked and whipped. Others were put in chains and taken off to prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went around clothed in skins of sheep and goats, poor, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not good enough for them. They wandered like refugees in the deserts and hills, living in caves and holes in the ground. What a record all of these have won by their faith. Yet they did not receive what God had promised, because God had decided on an even better plan for us. His purpose was that only in company with us would they be made perfect. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses round us. So then let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way, and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly. And let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and is now seated at the right hand of God's throne. Think of what he went through, how he put up with so much hatred from sinners. So do not let yourselves become discouraged and give up. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, at verse 22. So get rid of your old self, which made you live as you used to, the old self that was being destroyed by its deceitful desires. Your hearts and minds must be made completely new. You must put on the new self, which is created in God's likeness and reveals itself in the true life that is upright and holy. No more lying, then. Everyone must tell the truth to his fellow believer, because we're all members together in the body of Christ. If you become angry, do not let your anger lead you into sin. Do not stay angry all day. Don't give the devil a chance. The man who used to rob must stop robbing and start working. 29. Do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up. Verse 30. Do not make God's Holy Spirit sad. 31. Get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. Instead, be kind and tender-hearted to one another, and forgive one another, as God has forgiven you through Christ. And finally, from Revelation chapter 7, at verse 9. After this I looked, and there was an enormous crowd. No one could count all the people. They were from every race, tribe, nation, and language. And they stood in front of the throne and of the Lamb, dressed in white robes, holding palm branches in their hands. And they called out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." These are the people who have come safely through the terrible persecution. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's why they stand before God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will protect them with his presence. Never again will they hunger or thirst. Neither sun nor any scorching heat will burn them, because the Lamb who's in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And at chapter 21, verse 4, he will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more grief, or crying, or pain. The old things have disappeared. Then the one who sits on the throne said, "And now I make all things new." Amen. Now let's sing together a hymn that has a vision of this life to come. 537, Jerusalem the Golden. 537. Let's think about being saints. As we were saying earlier, you could trot out a long list of big famous Christians over the centuries, the saints, the people in the stained glass windows, the people they write books about. But there are also, as Ray was saying, unsung heroes, the people, maybe our parents or our grandparents or the person down the street or along the pew, people that a lot of people won't know, but the people who do know them know that they are saints. This is All Saints Sunday, and I want you to focus on the all of that. People say, well, I'm no saint. I think it's a cop-out. It's an excuse to not bother. It's all right for the likes of them, but I'm not like them, you see. No, when St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, the Colossians, the Philippians, they were all a bunch. He's meaning all those of you who would be followers of Jesus, who would be disciples to the best of your ability, all those of you who are trying your best. All the great saints started as babies, little boys and girls. They were ordinary people. But by the grace of God and by the force of circumstances, as with we'll be thinking next week in remembrance, when the war comes along, it makes ordinary people have to be extraordinary all of a sudden. And we do it with God's help, not our own abilities. But at the end of the day, all of us are hoping to be the saints going marching into heaven. All of us would like to think of ourselves as disciples of Jesus. John Calvin, in theology, made a very simple, homely point, which is true. You know how when a mother will say to her son, "You're a big boy now, act like it." He says, we have to grow up into what we already are in Christ. In Christ, we are saints. If you think that's far from where you are, grow up to become it then. But start growing now. We can do it in Christ's ability. Churches are sometimes mistaken as homes for saints. And then they criticize church folk for being less than the perfect saint. We never claim to be perfect saints. This is a hospital for sinners. This is Sinners Anonymous. Yes, we aspire to follow Jesus, but we're works in progress. We have a lower opinion of ourselves than our outside critics. If you look at the great saints, the Bible pulls no punches. Moses murdered an Egyptian. Jonah ran away when called by God. David was just a mere shepherd boy facing a Goliath. David fancied Bathsheba and had her husband disposed of. Peter denied Jesus, and so on. They aren't born this other breed than us. Even the famous saints were little babies who grew up with flaws and weaknesses, who had faults and mistakes, and yet in the end, they become Saint Peter. That's our story too. Isaac Newton said, "We stand on the shoulders of giants. We stand on the shoulders of our predecessors." Oh, that's true of scientists like Isaac Newton, but it's true in every sense. It's not that we are greater than any previous generation, but we have the benefit of all the previous generations and what they've contributed. So the New Testament was built on the shoulders of the Old Testament. The church was built on the foundation of Israel. We stand with a rich heritage behind us, holding us up. Look at the empty seats in the church and remember who sat where. We are grateful to who sat where, that we are now here. So here we are, the present day generation. We, in our turn, fight the good fight, run the race, keep the faith. The baton's passed on, and one day we pass it on. We sang the hymn, "Jesus Bids Us Shine," emphasis on us. Be like a little candle burning in the night. Don't curse the darkness of the world. Be a candle. A little boy was standing one day looking at a stained glass window. And he said to the adult beside him, "Who's that person?" And they said, that's a saint. Do you know what a saint is? And he thought for a moment as he looked at the stained glass. And then he concluded, a saint is somebody that lets the light shine through. A saint is somebody that lets the light shine through out of the mouths of babes. Jesus is the light of the world, but his light shines through us. Other people have put it this way. A saint is someone who makes it easier to believe in God. When people hesitate to believe in God, they look at us, and we either make that a harder job or an easier job. A saint is someone in whom Christ lives again. A saint is not a person who never falls, but a person who every time they fall, get up again. We should give thanks to God for people like that. And we should aspire to God to be people like that. During the Crimean War, Florence Nightingale was wandering her way down the ward doing her rounds. And she stopped at a bed and she leaned over a young soldier who looked up at her and said, "You are Christ to me." We're supposed to be Christ to somebody. They should see Jesus in us. When Paul wrote his letters and his epistles, and he wrote them to the saints, the word in the original language that he was using, Greek, the word for saints is hagios. Hagios means holy, different, set apart and dedicated to. So the temple is a holy building. The Bible is a holy book. The Sabbath is a holy day. The Jewish nation was a holy nation. Israel and the Holy Land. Christians are a holy people, dedicated to God and the kingdom of God, as opposed to dedicated to other kingdoms and other causes. Israel failed God, failed to be a holy people, different, witnesses to God. The Christian church is called to pick up that baton and be the new Israel, the true Israel, the people of God. Chosen not because we're special, chosen not for special honor, chosen for extra service. Christians have higher moral standards than everybody else. Christians work harder than everybody else, forgive more than anybody else, love more than anybody else. When a petty criminal drunk became a Christian, his friends goaded him. "Surely a sensible man like you can't believe all that rubbish. Especially the miracles, things like Jesus turning water into wine." And the man replied, "Whether he turned water into wine or not long ago, I'm not sure. All I can say is, I've seen him turn beer into furniture." No one can argue with the proof of the life that's changed. Paul spoke about we shed the skin of an old self, and we start a new self. He said that Christians live in Christ. In him we live and move and have our being. 132 times, Paul says, we live in Christ. It was the absolute core of the message that Paul was preaching. As birds live in the air, as fish in the sea, roots in the soil, so we live in Jesus. We live in the awareness of his presence. We live in his strength, his wisdom and guidance. We live according to his values, his aims, his purpose and plan. Our life's all about following him, becoming like him, reflecting him to others. Most people have asked, how did you become a Christian? Will say this in their own sweet way, but to the effect, somebody else showed me Jesus. It's never easy to be a saint. It never has been. Saints don't always look like saints. It's a song by Charlie Lansborough. It's a beautiful song. It's inspired by seeing a little old lady standing in the rain collecting for charity. A woman called Alice. And there's a whole song about other little saints like that. God uses us. It's not how good we are that matters. We're just the clay, but he is the potter. We are the canvas, he's the artist. We are the instrument, he's the surgeon. It's not how good we are, it's how much he can use us. So the biggest skill is availability and willingness. But let's think about saints in the future. One day, the sun sets for our last day on earth, and we rise to the eternal day in heaven. And we sing, the day thou gavest, Lord, is ended. Jerusalem, the golden, with milk and honey blessed, what radiance of glory, what light beyond compare. When the saints go marching in, the hallelujah chorus, and our next hymn, from earth's wide bounds, from ocean's furthest coast, through gates of peril streams in the countless host, singing to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Alleluia, Alleluia. Soon, soon, to faithful warriors cometh rest, sweet is the calm of paradise the blessed. The word paradise is an ancient Persian word. The kings of Persia, in their palaces, had walled gardens. And it was the greatest honor you could ever get, as a private audience with the king in his private walled garden called his paradise. One day, we will be in paradise with the King of Kings, having a private conversation with him. And the best thing of all is this. We don't have to wait to that time. We can walk and talk with Jesus today, here, now, anytime. I love the hymn which says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Well, others do know it. It's just you think you're the only one. This living fellowship with Jesus and with other fellow saints, disciples, is called the communion of saints. Last week at communion, we stood up and said the Apostles' Creed, which included, I believe in the communion of saints. It's summed up in this last thought. In the book of Hebrews, which we read, life is a relay race. We each get a lap of the race. We inherit the baton and we pass on the baton. And when we've run our race, we go into the grandstand and we cheer on those who are still running, because we're part of a team, an intergenerational team. And we've a vested interest that they don't drop the baton that we've passed on. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with determination the race that lies before us, always keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher, the pioneer and perfecter, the beginning and end of our faith. Amen. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all the blessings that we enjoy by having your presence with us at all times. You're not in a stained glass window. You're not stuck up in the sky. You are with us, in us, working through us. And we thank you for the privilege. So take our time, our talents, our money, and use them in your service. Amen. Let's sing hymn 534, For All the Saints. But it's a very long hymn, so let's just sing four verses. Could we sing verses 1, 4, 6, 8? 1, 4, 6, 8. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for those who are an example to us, and for those who in their lives show us what life ought to be and can be, for those who are an inspiration to us and who fill us with the desire to make of life a noble thing, for those who are a comfort to us when life has hurt us. We thank you for those who are a strength to us and in whose company we feel fit to tackle any task. We thank you for those who, although we do not know them personally, have by their words or by their writings influenced us for good. And we thank you for those whose love and care and service and understanding we so often take for granted. And we thank you for those who give us loyal friendship and for those who give us true love. And most of all, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the pattern of our lives, the companion of our way, and the savior of our souls. We thank you that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Those who have run the race, fought the fight, kept the faith, who now sit in the heavenly grandstand, cheering us on. Help us in turn to be able to pass the baton to the next generation. And help us always to keep our eyes fixed upon you, the author and finisher of our faith, on whom our faith depends from first to last. And hear us as we bring to you our particular prayers this weekend. We pray for those who are ill. We think of Morag Conway, Kate Hughes, Margaret Curlett, Harry Duff, Robert Howie, Betty McCubbin, Peggy Parsons, Margaret McKee and Alec Hiddleston. We pray for your comfort and peace upon the bereaved. And we think of our wider world. We think of all those who have lost loved ones this week in Pakistan, where 70 people were burned to death on a train. We think of in our own country, where 39 people suffocated to death on a lorry, and all the people mourning in Vietnam. We think of people in California with the wildfires, 180,000 people evacuated from their homes, 1 million people without power. We pray for South Africa, facing the worst drought in memory. Some areas have had no rain for 5 years. And we think of our own country with the election coming up on December the 12th, the first December election in 96 years. We pray for our MPs in Parliament. This year alone, they have had 500,000 abusive emails. And we pray for Scotland. People are being bought and sold as slaves online and even on the streets. A 16-year-old was sold on Argyll Street in Glasgow just recently for £10,000. Lord, in this world you have placed your church to reflect your light and love. As a presbytery, we pray for Fairley, linked with Largs St. Columba's, and their new minister, the Reverend Dr. Graham McWilliams. We pray for the new minister in Dalry this week. And we pray for our own church life. Work in us and through us for the extension of your kingdom. Amen. Our closing hymn is the well-known hymn, "The Day Thou Gavest, Lord, Is Ended," but it seems slightly inappropriate to sing that before noon. So let's sing 646, starting at the second verse. 646. stands and
moves forever till all thy creatures own thy strength.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and evermore.